This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Bringing you the best news and views.
You're with Dean Beck.
Joy 94.9.
It is my great pleasure to welcome Anna Brown to the studios. Welcome.
Lovely to see you as always, Dean.
Now, Anna, you were at the Australian Equality Party Q&A on Monday night. The idea was that we would discuss things, you know, kind of beyond the rainbow, beyond the elusive marriage equality. Do you think we came away with anything important from the night?
Well, I think they were biting off quite a large task in terms of covering all the issues that are relevant to our communities. That, you know, we had a good 2-3 hours, and we still, I think there's still a really long list of questions to get through at the end.
There's sort of a theory that once we get marriage equality, we're going to be bored out of our brains. No one will know what to write about in newspapers. I'm not going to be able to talk about another thing, and we will have run out of ideas.
I find that a very frustrating idea as someone who works on a bunch of other issues. Yeah, it's obviously...
Which some consider far more important too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought the discussion was good, and it was really... obviously, we had some very different views on issues such as the importance of marriage within our community, and then religion and balancing that old chestnut of balancing equality and religion. We had Tim Wilson offering the conservative line on, oh, we're becoming normal like the rest of the community. And
I don't want to be normal.
I think other people found that a little challenging.
Yeah. It is going to be a challenge for us to maintain our culture and our identity in one way whilst wanting to be accepted and assimilated, I guess.
And I think it's also about being part of we're a political movement, but we're increasingly being incorporated into government policies and programs, so we have to speak that language, and that language is not sort of the language of radical politics, it's of population groups and demographics and measurement and, you know, incremental change. So it's great that we're getting to a point where we are starting to get that sort of attention from government that we need, but it's a bit of a difference in the culture and the way we talk about our issues as well.
Corey Bernardi went head-to-head with Penny Wong yesterday at the Press Club in Canberra. It was very entertaining.
Yeah.
Ms Wong was very level-headed and straight down the line. No funnies from her. And Corey was as mad as usual. So I don't think that achieved anything. I've got this sense, though, that we're kind of going backwards a bit with the Labor convention thing that happened last week and their findings with regards to equal marriage. That seems to me like we're actually going backwards.
Yeah, that was a bit of a letdown. And what really worries me at the moment is Tim Wilson's proposal around religious organisations and building some idea of a compromise with those groups to have an exception.
Compromise in what regard?
Well, I don't know if it's been reported in The Australian, but Tim's talking to religious leaders about some amendments to whatever marriage bill is proposed that would accommodate religious conscience, and I'm really concerned about that.
I think, as Penny said to Mr. Bernardi yesterday, I don't think there'll be any need to worry about fining florists and banning bakers, because we as a community are pretty good at working out where we want to go shopping most days.
That's a really good way of putting it.
and on that basis, we wouldn't go to the bigoted baker.
Exactly, and no other jurisdictions had to do this. Why would Australia, one of the most, I think, secular nations in the world and progressive nations in the world, why would we have to make this concession that no one else has had to?
I do wonder if, following the findings of the Royal Commission into institutionalised abuse of children, whether we, like Ireland, will have a different attitude towards some of this stuff.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah. Anna Brown is with us. She is with the Human Rights Law Service.
Centre.
And she is going to help us guide us through some of the latest and greatest things that are happening within our community. We have a commissioner.
We do. I'm very excited about this.
Tell me why you're excited.
Well, Rowena, or Ro, I think as she prefers to be called, is just simply excellent. I think everyone that's met her so far has just been deeply impressed.
I agree with that. I was listening
to your interview with her on the way in, and she's just a perfect ambassador for our community. She obviously knows how to work really collaboratively with a whole range of different people. She's got a great background with faith-based organisations and the church. She's worked with Aboriginal communities. She's from regional, worked in and lived in regional Victoria. So it's all of these bits of Victoria that we really desperately need to get to and start to have conversations about.
And I guess she's had some interaction with Parliament and government in her advisory groups to limited success.
Well, I think she's...
Depending on which ones they were, but...
Yeah, I think she was most heavily involved in the very successful ones.
Right.
And played a leadership role in the most successful health ministerial advisory committee or council. I can't remember which name it was given. And that was a bit before my time, but I understand from talking to other people that her work leading that committee and as a member of that committee was very well regarded.
Do we know what she's going to be really doing other than just checking on the rule books and making sure that the laws are in place that are equal?
Well, I think she's figuring that out a bit now, and it's really, I think it might be an opportunity for us as a community to have a think about what we'd like her to do.
That's a fair question. Yeah.
And what I really like about Ro so far is that she does have an open mind to all of this. She's very accessible. She wants to meet with everyone she can and hear new ideas.
I guess it puts it much closer to the powers that be up the top too, and if things need to change and be done quickly, we've got much greater chance of that happening.
Definitely. And I think it gives just that status and profile to our issues. So, you know, there's issues around homophobia in the AFL. I might not be able to get a meeting with the head of the AFL, but someone like Ro can.
There's value in symbolism.
Exactly.
And having someone to point at and to go to and to send.
Yes.
Also. Yeah,
definitely.
Very much so. We are speaking with Anna Brown, and we're talking about what's happening within our legal frameworks locally here in Melbourne. We've got a few things on the cards. What's, like, on the top of your list?
Well, what I'm hoping to see soon is something on adoption equality.
So yeah. They've been talking about that, haven't they?
Yes. Mm. And there's been a consultation. There's been a report prepared that we haven't seen the results of yet, but that's informed a bill that we think the government is going to release soon. I would expect something in the next few weeks of Parliament, and we're just finishing the winter recess, so that's probably going to kick things off.
We urgently need something on surrogacy.
I think we need a conversation about surrogacy.
We really do.
It's a pretty complicated area, and there's, I don't know, Radio National had a great discussion this morning with Jenny Milbank and another woman about surrogacy issues and the complexity of some of those issues, and there's some federal discussions happening at the moment and a discussion paper around with some guidelines that's out.
Each state has got a different approach, of course, and yet it's kind of federally, the federal court runs it. And it's disturbing me that elements within our community do not have solid answers to some rather tough and curly questions with regards to international surrogacy.
Yeah,
I think they should have.
Yes, we don't have our community would be very divided on this, I think. But I don't think we've had that chance to come together and really work out what the best position is and how we best protect the interests of children. What we've seen is obviously a move towards international surrogacy, but we know that comes with less checks and balances, less regulation, more risk that the child won't be able to know and track its genetic heritage because the egg's from somewhere, the surrogate's from somewhere else, and who knows whether those records are kept
and
all
or worse
issues.
Situations, yeah.
And then the parentage questions about parentage and whether that's legally recognised in Australia, it's a big fat mess.
The way we do it at the moment is actually dodgy anyway. Like, it really is.
Surrogacy?
Yeah.
Well, it's not actually... Altruistic surrogacy is legal in some states, but not all.
Sure, but going overseas for a surrogate is...
Well, it's a criminal offence in New South Wales and Queensland. Yeah, it's actually a criminal offence.
Anyway...
But I'm not saying we should be criminalising. I think we need a more sophisticated response.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we need to have a serious conversation as to whether commercial surrogacy should be available locally under regulation and guidelines, etc.
Yeah, because there's lots of gay dads out there with kids, and those kids don't have the certainty of, you know, clarity of that legal relationship, and that's going to cause all sorts of problems.
You are on the line with Dean Beck.
Anna Brown is with us. We're solving the world's problems here today on the line. And we've got, I've got a little, we're going to get into the ex-gay thing, right?
Sure.
Now, Dale Stevenson is a pastor at Crossways Baptist Church. He had this to say just last week. Have a little listen to this, and then we'll hear from one of his congregation.
You who pass judgment on someone else, at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, here is a word to the Christian community. For all of our telescopic sights, all the passion, all of the hot button that is stirred within so many with regard to same-sex sexual unions, you do the same thing. You slander, you gossip, you judge, you cross the boundaries, you name it, and the Christian community needs to find its grace, its tone. Rather than taking God's standard as a stone to throw at somebody, we need to realize his standards inside of our own heart, rather than damning portions of the community. That is the point that the Apostle Paul was taking people to. And so while, unmistakably, he is speaking consistently with the broader first century Jewish mindset, he's not repositioning it, he's in the same zone, but he's helping people realize all of us have to come to the cross where the sinless Son of God died for our sins.
That was Pastor Dale Stevenson at Crossways Baptist Church last week. He then went on to introduce a parishioner, a congregation member, Benji, who is a young gay man.
So one of our own, one of our Crossway guys who loves Jesus, who has experienced same-sex attraction all of his life, who honours God with his body, and his name is Benji Wasson. Benji's going to come and share his story with us right now. Can you please welcome Benji to the platform? Thank you, Benji.
Good morning, y'all. As Dale said, I've lived my entire life, not knowing anything other than an attraction to other men. And I actually remember like being quite tormented by people at school because of it. And it was really annoying because they kind of figured it out before I did. Like, you know, they're calling me all these like nasty names, like, you know, poof and fairy and all of that. And I'm like, you know, what's that? And then as I kind of like, you know, started to hit, like, you know, just before puberty, is when like most of my memory really starts. And I can remember being attracted to, you know, other boys my age, at that point in time. And it just continued to, right through my adolescence. And I remember as I started to realize what that meant, the gravity of what that meant, and what people were saying, I became so afraid of what they would say if they found out it was true. I became afraid of what my parents would say if they ever found out. And I remember spending a large portion of like my entire adolescent life so hurting by it that I remember crying myself into a pit of depression and just like self-harming myself, like, you know, quite drastically for a number of years, because I was just so afraid and so angry at myself. Like, why can't I change this? I can't change this. I can't stop this. I don't know why. And I went through a period of delving into the like world of like, you know, drug abuse and alcohol and like promiscuity, giving myself to these kind of like, you know, desires in the hopes that I would find peace. and find, like, you know, if I stopped denying it and just embraced it. And I didn't know Jesus at this point in time, and so I was trying to really be proud of it. And like, you know, yeah, like, you know, this is me, this is who I am. And I have to confess, I allowed it to become so entrenched in my identity that it became who I was. And I remember, you know, just being introduced to people, like a friend of mine would introduce me to someone else and they'd say, oh, this is Ben, he's gay. Like, straight up, there it is. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, everyone knows. Like, this is, you know, all right, let's just really embrace it then. And it didn't really turn out well for me. I spent so many years so alone and so hurting because of it. And this, like, Christian girl who I think was well-meaning, well-intentioned, private message me on Facebook and tell me that there was hope for healing for me. And as someone who didn't know Jesus, I found that so offensive. I was so hurt because just people kept rejecting who I thought I was. It was part of my identity, or at least I, you know, had embraced it as such. And anyway, I eventually, you know, it all came to a head when I was about 20 years old. I had this power encounter with Holy Spirit, and I remember feeling so overcome and so overwhelmed in that moment and thinking to myself, my nun was right, God is real. What? like seriously.
That was Benji. Now, all jokes aside, you can see how tortured someone's mind must be to get up in front of 400, 500, 600 people and totally shred your sexuality part, deny it to the point where you'll notice that the pastor introduced him as saying, and he's given his body to God.
Yeah.
That means that he's celibate. Well, until he's not. And then, of course, everything comes crashing down.
Mm.
And it's about that point that people start throwing themselves under trains. This is bloody wrong. And the language in that first bit was really important, because what it was don't judge others because, you know, we who are we to judge? But we should all be at the behest of, as servants of God. So give yourself over to God, which means you just can't reconcile the two unless you want to be celibate.
Which means there's something inherently bad about
celibacy. Is a failed experiment of the Catholic Church. Let's just get rid of it. It's ridiculous. So in the US, there's been some developments in this. There was a case called the Jonah case. Now, this was brought together by a few people who had sought some ex-gay therapy. And they went to court and said, we're not cured. So these people selling this therapy are being fraudulent. And the court said that they were right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
It's a pretty incredible case.
Yeah.
It's huge in terms of its ramifications. To actually have a finding from a court saying these practices are deceitful, they're wrong because they're not based in any kind of medical evidence.
Thank God chlamydia can be cured. I mean,
it's very powerful, is what I was saying, Dean.
Yes, it is. Why don't we have something like this here? I mean, it's really a consumer law thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that what
and
it is?
Look, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, and we do have the ACCC, as people know about in Australia, and we do have regulatory authorities that look at, you know, what's a medicine and what's not a medicine, what's a therapeutic practice and what's not a therapeutic practice, and there's licensing around that. What I think makes this sort of case easier to run in the States is that the ex-gay movement and the ex-gay therapies are much more prevalent as therapies.
And more defined, yes, and pronounced, I guess.
And
yeah.
This group, the Jonah Group, Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing, and was an organised group offering, presumably,
people from Jewish faith.
Yeah, services for a fee.
Yes. Yeah. You've got to pay for this stuff. It's
made representations about the effects of the medical effects of those. So it's in terms of having that vehicle to run a case, I think we've got it's a bit of an easier landscape in the US. Well, which isn't to say that there isn't potential to do something in Australia, and it's certainly something I think we should be looking at.
The Pentecostals have done it better here, because you can buy books and cassettes and CDs, and you can, I don't know, get stubby holders and all sorts of things to get, cure yourself of your gayness. So there's a whole merchandising range along with the courses, and they
can... Do they sell them for a fee?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, we obviously all have heard about misleading and deceptive conduct being a provision that you cannot breach. So as soon as you're engaging in trade and commerce, then there's a whole bunch of practices and laws that you need to comply with.
And the language has changed in the last 10 years around this, as we heard with that example earlier. You know, it's about embracing the person in a loving manner and part of the flock and God's child and all of that. Just don't do it.
Mm. Which is, it's almost worse. It's saying we're welcoming, but then...
Oh, it's torture. This, it's mental
sting
torture.
In the tail. Yeah.
And you can never be perfect.
No.
Like everybody else. You always have this disconnect. It's horrendous, and it really does lifelong damage to people, and we've got to stop it.
Definitely. And I know you've been covering this issue and I think shining a light on these practices, which is really great, Dean.
I think we should get a couple of copies of some of those books, I think, and...
Let's do that. And I did notice that Martin Foley favourited my tweet about this case on Twitter. So
very
the minister's
good.
Paying attention.
Now, my good friend Wendy Francis from the Australian Christian Lobby has been having a go at our minus 18. I'm not happy.
Is this about the safe schools?
Yes. Safe Schools Coalition are referring people to the minus 18 website, which has instructions on how to bind your chest if you want to, if you're a trans man, and other very important sexual health information for youths. Okay. Wendy's not happy.
I saw an article where the ACL had described not even minus 18, but the Safe Schools Coalition activities as encouraging sexual experimentation.
Mm.
And I mean, it's exactly these sorts of attitudes. They're the reason we need the Safe Schools Coalition, because somehow promoting the idea that being gay or gender diverse or transgender is somehow wrong or bad or something to be ashamed of is the nub of what this program is trying to target.
We should encourage Wendy to have a look at the studies out of Texas that suggested to high school students that abstinence was the best way to go with regards to sex, and they soon discovered that they had the highest rate of youth pregnancy in the United States of America.
Surprise, surprise.
Anna Brown, always a delight to see you, be with you, and get your insights. Thank you very much for joining us today on the line.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work, Dean.
Thank you, and you too. Anna Brown is with the Human Rights Law Centre, and she's also the Globe Award-winning Dyke of the Year. I can't say that, can I? Lesbian of the Year. Is that what it was? What were you? LGBTI person of the year.
I know, but I can't
You're
be, all of, I can't
whatever
be all of them at once.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
On the line.
Gay and lesbian news and interviews.
With Dean Beck.
Made in Melbourne for Australia and the world.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.